Welcome to your financial wake-up call. It's podcast time. I'm Vin Abenou, and with me is your lovely other co-host, Dave Crossan, and he's got your financial wake-up call. Dave coming in from Shoreline Wealth Management podcast number two.
Number two, buddy.
Last week was a little bit of an intro for everybody out there.
What to expect.
This week we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. Yes. Your financial wake-up call, because it is
yours
for you.
Well, it's funny. We should talk about that a little bit. Yeah. Not having any intro other than financial wake-up call. But you know what? The more I think about it, it is your financial wake-up call. Everything that we're going to be talking about, and again, this is going to be different conversations, general conversations. I'm never going to be, you know it, Vin, pounding the desk saying, you must do this.
Here.
You must do
not
that.
Here.
But this is all about the aha moment.
Aha.
The light bulb going off, ding, whatever it is. Just different ideas, different things to consider as we are here at the beginning of, can you believe it, Vin? 2023.
Still getting used to that.
I know. When you're signing a check, make sure you put 23,
even
not 22.
It, you're like,
for
you're tempted to say 2022. No,
I know.
Three. Okay.
It's going to take some time, especially if you're signing something and you need to date it. Just take your time because, again, we're used to the 2022, but here we are. So,
right on.
Vin, here's my thinking. So let's kick this year off right by talking about things to tackle at the beginning of your financial year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the initial wake up, if you will.
Things wakey, that you wakey. Need to,
exactly. So number one, we look at last year. We look at 2022, and the S&P 500 was down almost 20%.
Yeah.
And that's a good gauge of the stock market, blue chip stocks. When you look at a market that returned almost a negative 20%, it's like, you know what? This is a great time, the beginning of the year, if you're working with a financial advisor, to set up that appointment. Go look at how your investments did. Make sure, number one, that they fall in line with your risk tolerance. They fall in line with your time horizon, and also make sure you're properly diversified. And that's the job of the financial advisor, to make sure you're properly allocated. Now, different investments that you had, maybe ones that underperformed, you could use this as an opportunity to reallocate. Again, this is a conversation when you sit down, that's the job of that financial advisor to say, okay, this is what took place. Going forward, this is what we want to do. Now, again, I'm a firm believer you have to be careful of the emotion of the market, because for a lot of people, when you see a market down that much, it's that panic. You know, you watch that financial television show or you listen to financial radio shows and you get nervous and the emotion kicks in and you have a tendency to make a move that later you're going to regret. And unfortunately with the market, what ends up happening is when an investment is increasing, let's say a stock keeps going up and up and up, it's that desire that, oh, I'm going to miss out, and you jump on it. And then all of a sudden you're buying it at a high, and now the market starts coming down, you sell. You need to take that deep breath and lean on your advisor, say, okay, is this an opportunity that we should maybe be adding money to this investment? Or is this one of those where we need to basically take a walk?
Right.
Look the other way. If you're properly set up, you're properly diversified, the idea behind that is by being properly spread out is to kind of weather the storm during what has been a tough year in 2022. So there it is. Number one, go see that advisor. And if you don't have an advisor, and I've spoken to a lot of people that have done it on their own, and let's be honest, up to this year, the market has done really well. But this is one of those times where you have to take a look at it. It's like, you know what? Here's where I'm at. Maybe I'm nearing retirement. Maybe I'm at a situation where I do need that guidance to make that transition, to make sure that how I'm set up right now, let's say if the market doesn't do well this year and the following year, or whatever happens, that you are properly diversified and you're properly set up to weather the storm. So if you don't have a financial advisor, this would be a good time to say, you know what? I could use that guidance. I could use that assistance to look for some help. And again, this is what I do for a living, and I'm always available to speak to anybody that is, of course, listening to this podcast and to provide financial guidance.
Right.
Here's another one, Vin. beginning of the year for individuals that are at that age where they're needing to take required minimum distributions.
Uh-huh.
Currently, that age 72, if maybe this is your first year, that you need to start taking money out of your retirement accounts. These accounts that have been growing for you for years, that have been all pre-tax money, that now the IRS is saying you need to start a distribution strategy. Or for people that are listening that already are, this is a new year. Here is what you need to do. And the rules have changed. There are a lot of different tables to look at depending on your situation and how to figure out what your distribution needs to be. And again, that's where your financial advisor would provide that guidance. I say to people all the time, and unfortunately, we get busy doing our different things in life, that people are like in December, like, oh, I have to take my required distribution. Let's just make up a number, Vin. Let's say it's $6,000.
Okay.
And during the course of 2023, let's say that's what you need to take out. People have a tendency to take it out at the end of the year. Well, my thinking is, why not take it out gradually? Why not say, hey, I've got to take out $6,000. Why don't I set up with my financial advisor to take it out monthly?
Sure.
For the IRS, all that they care about is that you take it out prior to the end of the year. Mm. That could be taken out all in December. That could be all in January. But why not benefit from it? Set it up like a pension. This could be utilized for your maintenance, your association fees, electric bill, whatever, car payment, insurance. Why not take it out gradually so you know, hey, I've got X amount coming into my bank account that I'll use for your different for my different bills. Something to do, something to talk about for people that need to start taking the required minimum distributions or are already doing it. Consider taking it out that benefits you through the course of the year. Now, here's another one. As we're looking at things to do, things to look at for 2023.
Right.
For any accounts that you have a beneficiary designation, that could be an IRA account, that could be a 401k, that could be an insurance policy, always remember that, let's say your will says something completely different. Let's say, I'll make this up, Vin. Let's say for my 401k, I have it all going to you, buddy. Congratulations.
Something happens to me, I
pass away, it goes to you. But if the beneficiary designation says something different, that's where the money's going. That will always supersede whatever's in the will. So number one, I just want to, well, I guess I am pounding the desk on this
one. Oh, boy.
Is verify for any accounts that have a beneficiary designation, it's the direction you want to go. Now, sometimes this is a good exercise. Let's say, unfortunately, somebody passed away, or you've just changed your estate plan that you want whatever account that you have a beneficiary designation for to go a different direction. Review those beneficiaries. Review that they're exactly the direction you want to go or to those individuals that you want them to go to. Because again, just to emphasize, if the will says something different, it doesn't matter. It's whatever those beneficiary designations say. That's the direction you go, or the money goes, I should say, if something happens to you. So take the time, review those beneficiary designations to make sure it's properly set up. And especially too, Vin, when it comes to retirement accounts, if there isn't, and here's another thing to consider. Let's say that account, your 401k, your traditional IRA, you haven't put a beneficiary designation. Maybe it's to the estate of, and for whatever reason, you're like, oh, I'll get to it. I don't know where I should or who I should designate this money to.
Right.
In that situation, that could limit the settlement options, if you will, on whatever your will says. So for example, let's say I have a 401k.
Okay.
And I just never listed a beneficiary. It's to the estate of. So now to find out where that money goes, well, yes, now it has to go to whatever the will says. And once that will is probated, we'll figure out, okay, that retirement account will go to these individuals. Well, the problem is because they weren't named outright as beneficiaries on this retirement account, it's going to limit their settlement options.
Mm.
In other words, it will limit the ability to stretch that money out because consider it's all pre-tax money. Let's say one of the options there is to go ahead and do it as a stretch so your beneficiaries could take it out over time. That could be something that's completely eliminated. And it may force a liquidation of that account that the whole thing is taxable. So it could create bigger tax issues and create tax problems, if you will, for somebody having to settle that all up all at one shot, especially because if you name a beneficiary designation, it does provide various beneficiary settlement options. So that's the other side of it. If there aren't beneficiaries on accounts that have named, that provide or give you the ability to have a beneficiary, make sure that you've got that squared away. And like I always say, if there's any confusion or questions about how to do this, always lean on an estate planning attorney. This should be part of that conversation,
right?
Not only getting your will set up, your power of attorney, living will, medical directive, important tax, or excuse me, legal documents, but have the conversation about how these beneficiaries are laid out to make sure it goes in line with what you're trying to accomplish. Very, very important. Now, I'll clear my throat on this one.
Here we go.
I'm ready. I'm fired up, buddy. So now, here we go. We have talked about things to do with your financial advisor, the conversations to have. Now, for individuals that are working and have a 401k that they are contributing to, that they are putting money toward, if there is a match, and I want everybody to do this, to verify if your company is providing a match with your 401k and you're not at least contributing up to the match, that's where I have to say, no. Do whatever you can to at least contribute up to the match. Why is that the case, Vin? If I'm not contributing up to the percentage of the match from my company, I'm leaving money on the table. It's like a pay raise I'm not taking advantage of. So if they're, I'll make this up, let's say it's 4%, and I'm not contributing at least that 4%, well, guess what? That amount I'm not getting. I'm not getting up to the maximum I can of, I like to call it free money or money that my company is willing to match. Make sure that you're at least contributing up to that amount. Again, if you can,
right.
I highly suggest you look at that as one of those, check that, look at that, make sure you can do that.
Sure.
Talk to your plan administrator. If there's any questions, that's a quick phone call to say, hey, I'm contributing this. Can you verify I'm up to the max? And maybe there's been some changes. Well, no, now the max is this. Make sure if you can, don't leave money on the table. Make sure you contribute up to that max. Leaving money on the table is never a good thing, Vin.
Nah.
Take it when it's given to you. Okay. So now, Vin, as I start to land the plane, this is something where I want people to now look at this year as, you know what? Let's put together a budget. I know it's boring. I know it's not fun. Everybody's listening like, oh, Dave, that sounds great. I couldn't be more excited. Take a good look at the income coming in.
Okay.
You know, if you're working from, you know, you're the job you have, the money that's coming in there, or if you're in retirement, the Social Security or maybe retirement distribution or from an IRA or 401k distributions that you're receiving, that's part of your income. List that all out. And also take a look at your expenses. If you look at some of the expenses we have, then it's so funny how the littlest things, like a cable service that you have. Do we need 4 gabillion channels? Most likely
you
not.
You never know.
Take a look at, hey, you know what? Maybe I can lessen some of the channels that I get, or maybe streaming services or different ways I can cut down on a bill like that. Or maybe you look at your insurance. Maybe I can raise the deductible on my car insurance to save some money. Different ways that you can limit what's going out the door. We know what's coming in the door, but what's going out the door? Let's look at different opportunities. And you know what? Make that phone call. Take a look at what your options are. You'd be surprised how much money you can save. The other thing too, Vin, for people that go out to dinner a lot, hey, you know, this is an opportunity to say, you know, do I need to be going out 4 nights a week? You know, maybe it's a situation I can go out a couple nights a week or have gatherings where I bring people over, friends, if I like to be social with going out to dinner. There are different ways that we can save, and it really, really adds up. And here's a key one, Vin, with setting up a budget, something to consider. And there's different versions of this, but I like this a lot. You ready? It's the 50, 30, 20 rule. And Vin, you're looking at me like, What's that all about? What are you talking about?
Tell me more, please.
Look at your income and try and set up, especially for people that are working, looking for different things that they can do, to put money away, to say, you know what? If I can do a systematic distribution of money that's coming in and make sure for any money that you're saving, that it goes to a separate account. Don't keep it in with your other monies that you could easily spend. So here you go, Vin. 50% of your money goes to your needs. That could be a rent, your mortgage, your car payment, those items that you need to pay for to live.
Right.
That's it. 50% of your money goes in that direction. 20% goes toward your savings and debt reduction. And I'm going to get into that in a minute because here we are in January. I'm sure a lot of people increase those credit card balances. So we'll talk about that.
Sure.
And then 30% would be the wants. Now, again, you can change these numbers. You know, we can do, you know, 50% goes to your needs, the different things that you have to pay for, and change it to 30% goes to savings, 20% to wants, and different. When I say wants, maybe a vacation, going out to dinner, things that we like to do.
Yeah.
But look at that. And again, look at how you can put money away for savings. And a key thing for everybody to consider, when I'm talking about savings, I break it down into two areas, if you will. Savings, number one, for everybody listening, you should have 3 to 6 months in what we call an emergency fund. And that's where, let's say you lost your job, something happens, you need to do a repair, car repair, whatever it may be, you're not leaning on those credit cards. So if at least 20% of your money is going toward the emergency fund, again, 3 to 6 months of expenses in a separate account. Nice thing, Vin, now is there's a lot of great savings accounts out there that are starting to pay some interest. I'm looking at the online banks paying around 3% for their savings options, which is really nice. A year ago, Vin, you and I would have been talking about 0% or next to nothing.
Mm.
There are some good online banks that are paying some really nice interest rates. That's a good place for your emergency fund that you can get access to it at any time, 3 to 6 months. Last thing we're going to mention, as I said before, with debt. Let's take a look at those credit cards, especially now that we're past the holidays. You're talking about credit card interest, 20, 25, 30%. It's ridiculous. And I hate to see this, and it happens a lot, where people are investing in the stock market, and then I'll say, well, wait a minute. You have a credit card bill that you're paying 25% on.
Mm.
And they're like, well, you know, I want to invest for my future, for my retirement. I'm like, well, I tell you what, there isn't an investment out there that's a guaranteed return of 20, 25%. But I tell you what is guaranteed is that interest rate you're paying on that credit card to the negative, unfortunately. So if you have built up some credit card bills, you know, you're paying 25%, whatever it is, we need to use as an opportunity now to figure out ways to get rid of those credit cards, to lessen the amount, because that's a negative percentage, a high percentage that's going against you. So as we're talking about building up our emergency fund, let's also create a plan to, again, part of our savings is 20% I'm talking about for savings and debt reduction.
Right.
Is maybe at this point we do, of that 20%, half of that will go toward building up my emergency fund, but the other half for debt reduction. And again, the key thing is the sooner we can get rid of those high interest credit cards, the better position that we're in. And this is the last thing I want to mention, Vin. I see this a lot where I'll meet with somebody and they're like, well, hey, David, I have, I'm making this up, $30,000 in a money market making 3%. Oh, great. Excellent. And then they'll say, and I have a $10,000 credit card that I'm paying 25%.
Mm.
So let's look at those numbers.
Sure.
$30,000 in savings getting 3%.
Let's put on the glasses, take a look. $10,000
is a negative, or the interest rate is 25%. I say, you know what? First thing we're going to do, we're going to take $10,000 out of that savings account and get rid of that credit card.
Mm.
And then the money that we're saving that we'd be putting toward the credit card will build up that savings account.
There you go.
So again, big thing for this year, go see your financial advisor, review what happened last year, see if there are any changes that you need to make. Beneficiary designations, verify it's exactly the direction you want to go. For accounts that have beneficiary designations or the ability to put them on there and you haven't, look to add them on there, because again, it could create problems for the beneficiary when it comes time to settle up. If you have a 401k you're contributing to, you're working and putting money toward a 401k, and there's a match, make sure you're at least putting that amount to the match, because if not, you're leaving money on the table that the company wants to give you. And again, consider getting that budget together. Again, Vin, you're looking at me like, oh,
not the budget.
What's coming in the door and what's going out, different ways we can lessen your expenses. And again, consider breaking it down. Again, the example I used today, 50-30-20 rule, 50% goes to your needs, things that you have to pay for, like your rent, your mortgage, car payments. 30% can go toward things that you want to do, dinners, vacations, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then 20% to savings and debt reduction. And when I say debt reduction, I am pounding the desk.
Oh, boy.
Let's attack those credit cards. If you've got extra money in a savings account and you have a high interest rate credit card that you're paying on, let's look for an opportunity to pay it off or a good amount of it off. Mm. And the money that we save, we can build up our savings account.
There you go.
There it is.
Whoop, there it is, people.
There it is. Good way to start the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this.
A lot to consider. Listen, as you know, we've talked on the show, on the air as well, you know, January, you know, now's the time to plan ahead. What are you going to do this year? What do you need to do this year? And it's a good time of the year to start looking ahead and really sitting down and, you know, going over finances.
And this is your financial wake-up call.
Why?
Your.
Because it's for
yours.
You.
Exactly. Exactly.
You out there listening. Yeah, it's advice for you. And please share this podcast with other family members, friends, coworkers. Help spread the word, because a lot of people have the same kinds of questions. Dave, for people who want to get in touch with you and ask some questions and discuss this a little bit in full, how can they get in touch with you at Shoreline Wealth Management and set up an appointment?
Well, thank you for asking. I love it.
Well, pleasure.
You can call our main number at 732-902-7880. Of course, visit us at shorelinewealth.com. We have offices in Manchester and Manahawkin, right
there
here
they
at the
are.
Jersey Shore.
Yeah, not too far away. No matter which location, drive is right around the corner, and it's a nice drive. It's a good opportunity. Check out a part of Ocean County and the Jersey Shore here, and then go have a nice little sit down with Dave Crossan. And
love to meet you.
Plan out your year ahead. So this is episode number 2 of your Financial Wake Up Call podcast, and another one next Monday. And don't forget to listen to Short Time with Vin and Dave this coming Sunday as well. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. This information is not intended to be a substitute for individualized legal advice. Please consult your legal advisor regarding your specific situation.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management understands that you're more than your money, and they strive to help you realize your best life as they align your finances with your goals. Best of all, Shoreline's straightforward approach will include you in the process. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor, committed to helping you weather life's storms. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information today. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Let's face it, investment concepts and financial planning can be very intimidating and confusing. Shoreline Wealth Management addresses that feeling head on. Their goal is to educate you while offering financial advice without buzzwords and jargon. Shoreline includes you in the process and makes you comfortable every step of the way. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information and start your financial journey with comfort and security today. Shoreline Wealth Management, with offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.